Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You guys can be seated for a few moments, maybe. So just a couple things. I'm really excited. I get to announce some amazing people to come up here and introduce them. For those of you, how many of you were here this morning and heard Brother Kenthetti's message? It was awesome, wasn't it? I just thought he did an amazing job. He's doing amazing work, and he's going to talk more about it tonight. But we had a couple people come up, ask questions about how to get involved, like through either the orphanage that he's running or different things. He has some brochures out on the table. You can, I know he's really excited. You better sign him up. He wants to fund an orphan. But anyways, that you can fill your information here on the front of the brochure. There's an address on the back. You can throw it in the mail. And it's an address here. The IN stands for Indiana, not India. So you only have to worry about basic postage. That could be confusing. You guys should have thought about that. Anyway. And then also, Brother Keller, who has been working with Brother Kenthetti for a long time, has been a missionary to India for a long time. He's going to come. We have a nice little video presentation about a book that he wrote, and then he's going to come and just talk about it for just a minute. So if we can go ahead and play the video presentation for Brother Keller's book. There's some really cool music that usually plays about right now. I could hum it.
Dun, 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 dun. Dun, 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 dun.
Brother Keller, we'll just have you come on up, and he's a better singer than I am anyway, so. Yeah, man, this guy's been in missions for longer than I've been alive.
Thank you, Brother Ann. I like the original audio better.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Amen. I was going to say, well, if we don't have that, that'll do. But I don't know if it will or not. Might be better off with nothing, don't you think? He tried. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, in him was life. And that life was the light of men. And that light shineth in darkness. And the darkness comprehended it not. In other words, the darkness could not put it out. Light is greater than darkness. And greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Amen. Hallelujah. Pushing back the darkness. Lighting up the kingdom. Amen. Praise the Lord. How many excited about what's happening in the world? In this church overseas, we're in the very last days. These are the most exciting times. The kingdom is expanding. And that's just what Jesus said. Amen. It'll expand around the world. Praise God. We're excited to be here tonight. Amen. Praise the Lord. This book, amen. Amen. How many believe there is one God? Do you believe there is one God? And you do well, for the devils also believe, and they tremble. Amen? Praise the Lord. So the world and places has been locked in darkness for thousands of years. One of the oldest is India, a land of mystique and intrigue and religious searching and wandering and longing. The devil has held that nation in darkness for thousands of years. Amen? It's been very hard to penetrate. And a lot of people that have gone with a weakened doctrine. Amen? Or a substitute doctrine. Or all kinds of ideas. But that does not keep the people from searching. And brother, how many of you believe that God's going to reach those people? Amen. God will not neglect. Let me tell you something. God is working. We're not subjects of some crazy mutation, but we are creatures that are formed. Everything is patterned. Everything is organized. You study this universe. You study all the myriad of things, and you will see that's walking among us tonight. Amen. We are spiritual beings wrapped in a temporary body, but the Spirit is eternal, and we've got a God that's in our midst tonight. Can you raise your hands and just love the Lord? Amen. We're going in there. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. In a nation of 300 million gods, we're proclaiming there is just one Lord. Amen? Praise God. Now, working with 30 million gods, teaching a Bible school to hungry young people and ministers that have never known the truth that come to our Bible school, you'll be hearing about this from Brother Confetti. But one of the main things we teach and trying to instill, it is just a groundbreaking, spirit-breaking impact, is that there is but one God. Amen. Now, even back here in America, the devil is trying to hide a lot of this. Amen. So I've tried to, everybody's working hard, and many books have been written, good books. But I want to put something in simple form. Okay, you believe there is one God, and we're convinced of that. Amen. And over there, they don't know, but then they're beginning to understand that, okay, if that's so, then why is it so confusing? Because there seems to be three appearing in Scripture, and yet the Old Testament says there is but one God. Amen? Praise the Lord. So if we can address why there is a mystery, understand there is a mystery, and then why there is a mystery, that mystery begins to be more revealed, or we can understand it better. So this has had a pretty good impact. A lot of people are buying this book. So tonight, if you would like to have it, it'll be back in the foyer back there. We'll be glad to sell you one, and these funds go to publishing in Telugu and sending more books to our Bible school and people in India so they can read theirs, but there is but one God. Amen? So we're glad to be here tonight. Can I tell you, we've got thousands of stories, interesting stories, but can I tell you one or two before Brother Channel and God come? Do I have your permission? If I get one person, I'm going to tell it anyway. There's one right there. Okay. All right. Praise the Lord. Now, God walks by, we walk by faith and not by sight. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. So I'm not substituting something, but I just want to encourage you tonight, because most of the time, you walk by faith. Most of the time in India, we don't see great things happen. But every once in a while, something just shakes the atmosphere. Amen? And that's why you hear about these miracles every once in a while, because God is breaking those spiritual strongholds and boundaries, and He's stronger. And He will manifest Himself sometime in amazing ways, because He is so bent upon saving people and reaching multitudes. And those Indian people are crying out, and God is breaking through, and God is reaching the people. Amen? Praise the Lord. So you pray for it. I was in India years ago when I first went to India as a young man. I was young once, believe it or not. I had hair. Amen. True story right there. But I went as a young man to India. I could tell you, I don't want to tell you tonight, but a miraculous call. It's amazing, my call when I was called to India. I won't tell it tonight. It's too long. But the manifestation of an Indian woman in me in the middle of the night in a call. But anyway, but I will tell you, I went to India under that call, and just something intriguing to me is that when we were in India, the first time I went, I said, I got to preach. I just got this preaching bug. I just got to. So we had a church there way down South India, and I said, Pastor, I've got to get out. You got anybody to go with me? He said, I've got an assistant pastor here. He'll go with you and his wife, and he'll interpret and do whatever you want to do. So I got a microphone, got my slides, and then I was teaching Search for Truth. And I had this big slide, and I was so excited because it's so effective. And I got out, we got in this little room with about 30 people. And I said, you know, we just began to call people off the street. Come on, Hindus walking off, thousands of them. Come on, God. So a few started dropping into that little room. We set up the slides, and we just started teaching. I had the microphone and started teaching. I was excited, you know. My goodness. And I began to talk about the kingdom of God. I began to talk about Jesus as Lord. I began to talk about all these things. And I began to bring out, you know, that the kingdom of God, not meat and drink, but it's righteousness and it's peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. And so I was teaching all these slides. And my goodness, everybody started worshiping, even those Hindus. And as they began to worship, well, I just kind of let it go for a minute. And they started worshiping. People started receiving the Holy Ghost. And one over here, one over here and one over here and one over here. People, and you could hear it speaking in tongues just like it is here. And they started receiving the Holy Ghost. So, wow, that's wonderful. And so I started to pick up the microphone, continue teaching. About that time I was interrupted, and the woman, the pastor's assistant wife, came running up there, and she said, "Stop." And I said, "Stop? Why stop?" She said, "There's a Hindu woman back here, and she's receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost." I said, "Oh, well, that's great. A woman receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost." And she said, "You don't understand. She doesn't know any English whatsoever. Some know her, we know her. She does not speak any English whatsoever. And she's speaking in English as she is receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost." Amen? Is the Bible true? Why do we make it so complicated? Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there will I be in the midst of them. I said, "Oh," I got curious then. I said, "Oh, really? Speaking in English? Wow." I said, "What'd she say?" I had to know. She said, "Oh, saying several things in English, but one thing she keeps saying is, over and over, that I am the Lord Jesus, and I am in the midst of you. Let your heart be free." Amen? Praise the Lord. So, God's a spirit. And I'm going to close real quick. One more quick thing. I got to touch on this. I was in India just recently, here a while back. Asleep in my room. I'll make this short. Upstairs. Asleep. A friend of mine flew over from America. He's a pastor, and he flew over there. And he woke me up in the middle of the night, you know. We already had my bed set up over in a corner, and I was over here. And he talks a lot, you know, he's constantly going. So he just kept me up for a while, and then pretty soon he drifted off to sleep, and I drifted off to sleep. And so the next morning he came in and said, "Brother Keller," he said, I never dealt with demons. I never dealt with spirits very much. I just never run across them, never do know it." There was no doubting this. He said, "In the middle of the night, I was awakened several times by the loudest commotion, and there were voices in several different languages that were over you while you were sleeping. They were cursing you, and they were attacking you while you were asleep in your bed." Amen? Are we in a spiritual battle or not? Can you stand for just a moment? Pushing back the darkness? Lighting up the kingdom? Amen? And God has a kingdom. Raise your hands and amen. And let's just thank God and invite God in here in a special way right now. Amen. We're going to turn this back, Brother Brian, here for just a minute. But let's just zero in on what God's doing around the world. Zero in tonight. What He wants to do and speak to us in this congregation tonight. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for what You're going to do tonight in our lives, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You can be seated. Thank you, Brother Keller. And I told this a little bit this morning, but I met Brother John Canthetti in 2006 while I attended Bible college for a year. That's where I met my wife and him, and in Stockton. And it was such an honor to get to know him through his time there while he was in the United States before he went back to India. I remember we were both in a class together, and this was when he first came to the United States, and you know, he had like the curry smell all over him, and you know, you couldn't get rid of it. You know, everything it was really strong, but he spoke very little English, and so we would wait for our next class, and we'd just kind of stand there awkwardly. And I felt so bad. I was a terrible host of America. I should never be an ambassador because I didn't know what to say to him. But over the years, we became really, really good friends, and we got an opportunity to go out there to India and spend a couple weeks with him. And he's going to share some of that of what they were able to accomplish over his. But he's been doing this a long time, and he's organized some of the most amazing things I've ever witnessed as far as spreading the gospel and in a part of the world where you know they're not really that interested in hearing about the gospel. They have, like I said, all these other gods, but yet there's hungry people, and he's done an amazing work to reach those people. And so I'm really honored to call him a friend and to invite him up here. Let's welcome Brother Shanakan Canthetti.
Praise the Lord, church. It's so good to be with all of you this evening, and I thank God for this opportunity. And thank you, Pastor and ministerial staff here, for allowing us to be here and share our burden vision with your church family. We're so thankful, and thank you for your prayers and support for work in India. Before I go into the this evening Word of God, I wanted to share the my presentation this evening. Then we can go into the Word. And if I get my presentation, please. Thank you so much for your help with the media. I'm from India. India, we have 29 states. And as you see in this map, every state has their own language and own culture. And every we have 22 languages and 750 dialects. It's different countries come together as a one world. And in India, over 1.2 billion people, and 80% of them are idol worshippers. As you see in this picture, these are some of their main gods, but they believe as a 330 million gods and goddesses in this universe. And they've been in this kind of tradition for years and years, thousands of years. And I'm not talking about 100 or 200 or 300 years. Thousands of years, they're locked up into this darkness and worshiping idols. But by the grace of God, we're pushing through this darkness and lighting up His kingdom in India. And by the grace of God, right now the work is growing and there's a great revival. People are coming to the church, and there's so many villages. We are able to step into those villages in the name of Jesus. And those darkness, dark spirits are fleeing out from those villages, and we are able to establish the kingdom of God by His grace and mercy. And we are reaching the lost by His grace and mercy. As you see in this picture, this is one of our railway station, and you can think how many people in India, 1.2 billion people, and 80% of them, all these people are looking for hope. They're lost and they're blind. They're looking for hope in rocks and trees and snakes, animals. So they're thinking that's their God, but they need a message and they need a deliverance. So please pray for our country, India. And these last 4 years, we're going through a severe persecution. We have this new government, and this is one of the Hindu government. They are more trying to, their main motto, they wanted to bring idolatry. They want to bring back that oppression. And people in India are starving, street children. There is so many needs. But our prime ministers, our congressmen, they are focusing on building these idols and temples. So there is a great oppression in India. But the only we can come out of that oppression through the gospel. Through the gospel. And these people need Jesus. And they are under such a depression, oppression. And they are going through very stressful times. And everything looks great. But they don't have Jesus in their life. So please pray for our country. And in 1.2 billion people, 80% of them are idol worshippers, and 14% Islam, and 2% is the only Christianity. I'm talking including Roman Catholic. And very few places we have an apostolic churches. There's a great need of ministers, laborers to work in the field. And this is just a picture of how we travel. And if you would like to take a trip to India, it's take 24 hours, but from airport to my home, by the time you travel in a taxi, you're gonna learn how to pray. You're gonna have fun. Well, Brother Brian, I picked him up from the airport. He had a fun. So you'll learn so many great things in India. You learn more about faith. I'm from southern part of India, so I just have that accent. Well, I hope you can understand. Well, this morning, those who are here, you're able to understand me very well. And this evening, those who are here, you can understand, because a lot of Indians, we are telemarketers. We are good at outsourcing. So every time you hear from someone from other side of the world, so tonight I hope you guys are not going to have any problem when I was speaking. We're very good with the Dell customer care. I know you guys have a hard time to pronounce our name. My name is Chandrakant John Kanthiri. So when when you walk into the customer care, they just give you John, James, Joseph. It's not real names. It's just like for easy for Americans. But I got John is a real name for me. When I became a Christian, I wanted to have a Christian name, so it's a testimony. I can testify to my friends and wherever I go, work with people. As my middle name is John, I'm thankful. By the grace of God, I come to know the truth. When I was 17 years old, I was going through a difficult situation. As a young man, I'm worrying about future. I was thinking to commit suicide and end this life. And I don't have a purpose in my life. I was going through so many questions. And it's just God's grace and mercy that I got an opportunity to go to a Bible school. Those who are here, you're not by an accident. It's a God, His grace and mercy that you're here in the house of living God. And if you take that opportunity and give your life to God, and you will find purpose in your life. And I was lost. I was blind. I have so many questions. But when I walked into the Bible school, that 2 months, it changed my life. And by the end of the Bible school, I got baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of my sins. In India, people say to get rid of your sins, you have to take a several cycle of lives, or you go to Himalayas and do meditation. There is only one way. One way. There is no other way. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And millions of people, they want to hear this message. And I'm thankful that 16 years ago, when somebody invited me, once you miss that opportunity, it's very hard to get back. We don't have a churches every street corner. We don't have someone to witness to us every time, or someone can pray. We don't have a native missionaries all the time. It's just God's grace and mercy. Every time I go through these villages, people stand in front of the rocks. They're searching for hope. They're just praying sincerely, getting up morning so they can hear from their God. But they never get a chance. They never have that relationship or hope they can't find in those rocks. We're so glad to be tonight in the house of living God. And if it is your first time, or you've been hearing this message for a long time, just don't miss this opportunity. Today is your day. Just give it to God, and you will find purpose in your life. There's a great purpose. God has a great plans. And 16 years ago, I'm so glad, I'm thankful. I thank God for American missionaries. And I was able to go to Bible school and got baptized in Jesus' name. Right after that, God gave me an opportunity to start a church. I felt burdened to reach my people. I started a church under a tree. There were so many obstacles and problems. But God, by the grace of God, I was able to continue the church service. And there was at times, in a monsoon time, we just have to walk through those roads. We don't have a direct buses. And one of our pastors, he walks 45 minutes to get to his village. And then 45 minutes back to the bus stop every Sunday. And every time when he visits to those places. And when we go through these places, night times and during the day times, it's very hard in India transportation. But in those obstacles with the people or a season, but by God's grace, I was able to build a church. And people, they come in these mini taxis. They pile up 12 people inside this auto rickshaw, and they come to meetings and our services, because churches are located only few villages. So they just travel 45 minutes to 1 hour to get to the church service. Everybody pack in those auto rickshaw. And in the year of 2006, I got an opportunity to come to Bible school here in America. It's a miracle. God made a way for me to come over here, and with a visa and everything. I was working $30 per month in India. It's impossible with my situation. But God made it possible for me to come here to the States. And I was able to go to Bible school for 4 years. And I graduated in the year of 2010. And this is my church right now where I start under a tree. Right now we have a beautiful building. We just had a 16-year anniversary in our church. And 2012, when I went back home, 2011, I went back home to India. 2012, we had a crusade, and around 5,000 people came to this crusade. In this crusade, God opened a door for us to connect with the several Trinitarian pastors. Actually, one of the Baptist pastors, he brought his church to this crusade. And he come to us and he said, several of our church members are speaking in tongues. They received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But he said, please don't tell our main church, but I like your services. I just wanted to come to your services. If you have any pastor's meeting or any kind of your services, please give us invitation. We will come to your services. And he's bringing his church members, and by the grace of God, we are able to minister in their pulpits. And right after this crusade, when we had a crusade, people came from a long distance. They never had a good camp meetings or these kind of special meetings. This is a very special for them. They just got on those mini vans and auto rickshaws and some of them trucks. And every 100 people, these big trucks and small trucks, they wanted to be part of their service and be in their worship service and feel the presence of God and seek the God. And they travel hours to come to that meeting. And several of them received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Last night, over 500 people received the baptism of the Holy Ghost in their crusade. And right after that, I was able to connect with some of the Trinitarian pastors. And I asked them to come to our Bible school. And we started teaching them search for truth. And so far we had 300 graduates from our Bible school for the last few years. And we had Trinitarian pastors, non-Christians, Hindus, Muslims. They come to our Bible school. And several of them, by the end of the Bible school, they gave their life to God. And they're working as a full-time Native missionaries in our area. And right after the Bible school, we always have a baptismal service. And some of these baptism pictures, several of them got baptized. And this is our graduation ceremony. And we gave, this is our graduation class in 2016. These are our graduates. We gave them diplomas after graduation service. And those who want to be a full-time ministry, we buy them a bicycle and a portable mic set so they can evangelize. These are our Native missionaries. They know the language. They know the culture. They can live in these villages, and they're going to the places, never heard the gospel, and there's no churches. And these young people are going into these places, sometimes single men, two of them, they go, travel together, and sometimes husband and wife work in a few villages. And so far, we are able to start several churches. They can walk into the homes and witnessing to these people. And these people never heard the name of Jesus. And we're able to start new churches. And in the last few years, every year, when we started this Native missionary work, over 100 people are getting baptized. And this last year, 160 people got baptized in the name of Jesus. And right now, we have 100 preaching points. And these areas, and for American, it is very hard to go into these places. And our Native missionary, he can go into these places and minister to these people. And sometimes we don't have any church buildings. We just gather outside under a tree. And I just want to share one of the testimony. When we had this particular service, I just want to share one story, how one service is going to make a difference. There was a lady, she heard our worship song. And she was in a very, she was going through a difficult time, and she wanted to commit suicide. But when she heard that worship song and she just wanted to come to their service. She came, and after service, when we were praying, she's talking to Brother Keller. I was translating, and she said, "Sir, when you're speaking to me, I felt the presence of God, and you're just addressing my situation. I wanted to commit suicide this evening because with my husband, alcoholic, and how he treats me, I was going through a rough time. But this worship service, this when I heard the song, I came over here, and I was filled with the joy, and I'm delivered from their thoughts, and thank you for praying for me." So that's the one story, the one service is going to make a difference in somebody's life. And these are some of our churches we are able to build with the help of American Church. And this is one of our village, and we're able to build about 200 people can fit in this building, and it costs $10,000 to build a church building in India. 200 people can fit inside this building. And this is one of the our native missionary, and we started we don't have any place, and next to the barn under a tree. And he started evangelizing, standing by streets and preaching the gospel and praying for the people. And when we have an invitation by someone, he goes to their home and does the Bible study. And right now, by the grace of God, we're able to build a church for him. This is his church. This is like from 2012 to 2017. He's able to evangelize in 10 villages, and already church started filling inside. And this church building is built by Apostolic Truth Church, Appleton, Wisconsin. So they have a daughter work in India. Praise God. And this is one of our native missionary. And he's working in one of the village. It's called Stambampally. And he was standing by a bus stop, and he met a couple. And he just felt in the spirit just to talk to them. And he walked to those people, and he invited them to come to the church. And he didn't ask what religion are you or anything like that. And they came to the church, and after service, and they told the pastor, we came from Islam. We're Muslims. But we wanted to come to church for a long time, but we are afraid that my relatives said, if you attend church, we're going to kill you. But as you're talking to me, I just felt that Spirit of God. And when I walked into the service, and there's a great joy, and I can't stop this thing, and I'm not going to get scared of my people or my relatives. I want to be baptized in the name of Jesus. And he grown up in a Muslim Islam faith, and he went to mosque, read his Quran, and all the time. But when he stepped into the house of living God, and he's like, I want to go into the water, baptize in Jesus' name. And him and his wife, we baptized him in Jesus' name, both of them. And they're attending church faithfully in the midst of all those obstacles. And we had recently a great conference, and 1,200 people in the last few years of work, Bible school, native missionary efforts. We have right now 30 churches and 100 preaching points, and 1,200 people are attending our churches. That's all our apostolic church family gathered in one place. And this is our leadership and a pastoral training meeting. We had a wonderful meeting with Pastor Soto, and he did this leadership training class. And we have a Christian academy, and we have about 450 kids. And these kids came from a Hindu families, and they're coming to a Christian school. We're able to start a church. A school is a tool. It's one of the evangelism tool in India, so we can reach these Hindu families. And this last year, we did a special project for poor kids in our school. And a lot of them can't afford to buy shoes. And we, with the help of one of the American brethren, we bought them shoes, some of the poor children. And right now we have about 450 kids coming to our Christian school. And they're learning about God. And we pray that one day they're going to take back to their village. And this city is going to grow. And we'll see the result. And just pray for our school. It's Elohim High School. And another great project, God opened a door for us. It's an orphanage. And we have 20 million street children in India. And if you can see this brochure, I have information how to involve with this orphanage. And $38 per month, you can support an orphan child in India, and we can give them education, food, and the most importantly, they grow up in Acts 2:38 message. And we'll see an apostolic generation. The building I showed in a picture, it can accommodate 1,000 kids. And by the grace of God, there's a lot of fight pushing through the darkness and lighting up the kingdom. And it's been a fight with our government. And it's a fight to get this building. But by God's grace and mercy, we're able to get this project to run. And so please pray for this project and share with your friends and family members. Right now, we're the purpose of traveling. We're trying to raise sponsors for our kids, and we're doing the renovation project. We need beds and all materials inside their building. So appreciate all of your prayers. And if you get a chance, so there's a brochure by a booth, and you can take that booth. And this is Abundant Life Children's Home. It's a 501c organization. We are operating from Fort Wayne, Indiana. And we want to see these kids, when they come to our orphanage, filled with the Holy Ghost and raised up in apostolic doctrine. So especially there's a lot of girls in India are orphans. And we see them in every month. I read in our newspaper, somebody left a baby girl in a hospital, and they found by the dumpster. So we want to bring these kids and give them a good life, not just giving them a good life, but they can grow in a Christian environment, safe environment, and they can be a blessing to our country, and they can raise in the kingdom of God. If you'd all stand this evening, I'm going to read a scripture from Book of Romans, chapter 8, 31 verse. All of you know this verse. It says, if God be for us, who can be against us? Let's all pray for this evening service. I'm going to preach for a few minutes on this title. If God be for us, who can be against us? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Mahaganadu, Parishidudu, Paralokamundanu, Mathandri. Ee Ratri Kala Samayamandunaina, Prabhu, Meeru Ichina Sandeshanni Divinchina, Abhishekinchani, Prabhu. Aya, Mee Krupakshemamu, Mee Sannidhi Todagunchi, Naa Notiki Mee Noorandinchi, Mee Naamaniki Mahimakaranga Vadukomani. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, Jesus. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. By the grace of God, I went back to India in the year of 2011. I spent from 2006 to 2010 here in America. It's a very comfortable life. And when I went back home, it was very hard. I was sitting in New York airport, ready to get on my plane. And I was like, last 4 years, there was no question about, it was a very comfortable life here. And going back home was very difficult. Coming over here, there is a few culture shocks, but I can easily adapt to this environment. It's not a problem for me. Everything is very comfortable. As I walk into my dorms, I was shocked because I thought, this is a Bible college. They have air conditioning inside rooms. First time I ever had in my life my own bed and my space. And this good food. Some of my Sunday school children in India, they come to our Sunday school. The reason we give them one boiled egg. They just come for all these Hindu kids. They come to Sunday school. After service, we give them a boiled egg. Because their family can't afford to give them an egg. It seems like for you, like every morning you get up and you have, when I talk about clothes, shoes, food, it's like, it's common here. And over there, all these kids, they just come to every Sunday, either we give them a bowl of rice or a boiled egg. And I had a very, very good life for the 2006 to 2010, going to Bible school, traveling all over the United States. In 2011, ready to go back. Actually, I'm not completely ready. My flesh is not ready. I was sitting in the airport. I was like, God, is it your will to go back? And in the year of 2010, every chapel service, I feel like God is speaking to me. You got to go back. You got to go back. It's like, God, you know, when I was in India, I was making $30 per month. I don't have any missionaries, missions and partners or anything. I was just going back by myself. God said, it's okay. You just walk by faith. And I walked into Pastor Haney's office. You know, it's a big church. I thought, you know what, they're going to partner with the work in India. But Pastor Haney prayed for me and he said, God is going to open a door in the right time. You just take the promise of God and walk into your country. And by the grace of God, I went back home. It was, I went through several challenges. It's completely, I was here for 4 years and then I went there and it's a completely a different world for me. But in those very difficult times, I thank God for His word that gave me strength in the very difficult times. In India, I'm no longer in a spiritual bubble. If you come to India, you'll understand what I'm saying. You're covered with so many people, prayers here. You have a man of God. Men, ministers over here, they pray for you. The church is every street corner. There is a spiritual cover, prayer cover. As soon as I landed in the airport, walk outside, you feel that oppression spirit. But in all those times, when I went through lonely times, when I went back, but thank God we serve a God. He's a living God. He listens to our prayers, and He answers our prayers. And there's a people in India, in our country, they worship rocks and trees. They have a great zeal to worship God, but they don't have a truth. Our God speaks through His word. In this particular verse, it's talking about God's everlasting love for humankind. It is talking about His sacrifice on Calvary for all of us. It is astounding to realize that God's plan of salvation for people is a plan that reaches from eternity past to eternity future, which God will carry out perfectly. If God is for us, who can be against us? Obviously, Satan and his demonic hosts are against believers. But they cannot ultimately prevail and triumph over believers. Our God is the self-existent one and sovereign creator. Since He is for believers, no one can oppose believers successfully. In the Old Testament, often speaks of God being with or for His people. Anyone who challenged them, they challenged our God. We do not need to fear the past or present or future because we are secure in the love of Christ. And tonight, if you feel a dead end, the Bible saying there is a new beginning. God is making all things work for us. In His person and His providence, God is for us. Sometimes, like Jacob, we lament, all these things are against me. When actually everything is working for us, the conclusion is obvious. If God is for us, who can be against us? There is no need to fear. Like any loving father, He desires only the best for His children. Even if they must go through trials to receive His best, God's word says, "For I know the plans that I have for you," declares the Lord, "plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope." How can we be discouraged and frustrated when we already share the glory of God? Our suffering today only guarantees that much more glory when Jesus Christ returns. In the Old Testament, in the book of 1 Kings, it talks about a great prophet by the name of Elijah. Elijah was a man of great courage and faith. Elijah boldly defied a king, raised a boy from dead, and called fire down from heaven. He received food through ravens and was fed by widow. There was a story talks. There was a drought. We find that contest on Mount Carmel taking place in third year. Apparently, the drought had begun 6 months before Elijah suddenly appeared in Ahab's court to proclaim that the drought would last another 3 years. Lack of rain was often a punishment for the sins of the people. Ahab and his wicked heathen wife Jezebel had led the people into Baal worship. Having delivered this message, the prophet retired from public ministry for 3 years. During this time, the Lord graciously cared for him. God told Elijah exactly where to go and what to do. God withdrew Elijah's ministry from Israel as another punishment for their sins. The Lord permitted Elijah to drink of the brook, and he provided bread and meat daily. Delivered to the prophet by ravens, but there came a day when the brook dried up. Did this mean Elijah had sinned or that he was out of God's will? No, it simply means that God had another place for him. And it was a reminder for Elijah to trust the Lord and not the brook. If you feel lost, if you feel dead end tonight, God has a great plan. God's word always leads God's servant in the time of testing. What a strange commandment. Go to Gentile territory where a widow will feed you. Zarephath means refining, and God was certainly putting his servant through the furnace. Imagine Elijah's feelings when he discovered how poor the widow was and that she was about to prepare her last meal for him. But God's command her never wrong. For when the widow put God first by obeying Elijah's commands, God provided for her, her son, and her guest. Note that Elijah honored the Lord God of Israel before this Gentile woman. The dry brook was Elijah's test. The dead boy was the widow's test. Great blessings are usually followed by great testings. God raised the boy from the dead. The prophet Elijah did see many miracles, signs, wonders in his ministry. One day Elijah heard a negative news from Jezebel. He allowed himself to believe that he is going to die. He became scared, discouraged, and ran for his life. Elijah thought he would fall into the hands of Jezebel. But we serve a living God who knows our past, present, and future. He numbered the hairs of our head. He knows everything about us. God had a different plans for Elijah. He would not die in Jezebel's hands. We serve a living God who knows our future. He's going to guide us, lead us, and provide us. We have to put trust in a God. He was not made or created by human hands. He's a God alone, and he created everything out of nothing. When the earth was without form and void and darkness, he made everything beautiful. We believe in a God who makes impossible a possibility for us. That's the God we serve. In the year of 2011, when I went back to India, I started a church in city. When we had this church, we didn't have any building. We had this old building, one of our church members' building. We couldn't find a decent building to run our church services. This is the only building we can find. And this building is ready to fall apart. But we don't have any place to continue the worship services. And I feel that's the will of God to start a church in a city. And we need a church in a city. And I was continuing. I was 4 years in America. I seen a beautiful church buildings. I went to a church, Stockton, beautiful church building. Every place I go, there's beautiful church buildings. Here I am. God called me back to India with starting a church, another church in midst of Warangal City, and we couldn't find any decent building to start a church. The only building we can find, and this is the building. Even our city gave a letter, this building is going to fall apart, and we don't want anybody to stay here. We don't want anything to run here, but we just can't afford, or even if we have a money, we couldn't find any building. So we just continued our church service here. And one time when we had a heavy rain and some of the wooden things came fall on us and there was nobody inside. And sometimes this is completely a broken building. And we're just continuing our worship service here. And our neighbor, he didn't like having a church service. And what he does, he doesn't have a septic tank for his sewer. So when they use the bathroom, and all the sewer just comes into the church building. When it rains, then all the sewer comes inside our building. And when we have a like altar call service, we smell so bad because our neighbor, when they use the bathroom, it all coming in front of our church. And I was just so frustrated with these situations. God, you want me to start a church here. And here is the sewer coming. And building is falling apart. And I'm preaching about your gospel. And I'm talking about you, God, and help us. And it was a very, very difficult time for me. I mean, when you come from a poor situation to a good situation, it's not a bad. But when you see a good buildings in America, then you go back and there's no pulpit, there's no portable mic set, and nothing. And you just start preaching, and your neighbor, whenever he flushes tanks, and it's everything comes in front of you and come inside. And sometimes when you walk inside the church building, Sunday morning, there is everything, and you have to clean up and take out the sewer water. And clean up and get ready for church service. That's what we're going through it. And I thought, I think we can't continue with these services over here. And I was talking to one of my friend, Dad, from Minnesota. And he's just asking about work in India, how I'm doing. And he's my best friend's dad. And he's just talking to me all these things. Yeah, I'm going through this situation. Just pray for me. And we're having problems with our neighbors. Our neighbors are Hindus, and they're just sending their sewer into our church building. And we are having a service and all these problems. And then he said, when we are talking through the Skype, and he said, well, I wanted to build a church for you. And I got so excited. Wow. By the grace of God, we're getting a building finally. I don't have to deal with this sewer. I don't have to deal with my neighbor. I don't have to deal with the city. And he asked me how much it's going to cost. I said, it's $10,000 we can build a church. And he said, no. I'm talking about something, find out that there's a place that you can stay when missionaries come to India so they can stay. So find out, figure out. I was like, oh, it's going to cost so much money. It's not going to happen in $10,000. And he's like, no, you just find out, go to engineer. And I went engineer, and he gave me a budget. I was like shocked, and I'm like, I don't want to share this budget because it's impossible for it to do this. And I gave him all the budget details and everything. And he said, well, God will make a way. I was working for a company. I got a new contract. I think I will do what I can do. I'll send every month, certain amount of money. I can't do all at a time, so we just have to go by money. And here is by faith. We have a piece of land. We started church building. When we did this groundbreaking, it's a center. This property God gave me. It's right next to Muslims. South, we have Muslim neighborhood. North, Muslims. And West, Muslims. It's just every one of them are Muslims. And I was thinking, God, is there any place that I can find a decent place? And God said, you're going to build a church right there. And every day you have to hear from mosque, like, Allah. And I was like, do you want me to build a church right here? Yes, you're going to build a church. And my neighbor, when we did the foundation, when we did the groundbreaking, just dogs are barking. And my neighbor, he sent a letter to our city. We don't want church in our neighborhood. He sent probably several applications. And building inspector came, the very first building inspector, he said, you can't build a church in this neighborhood. It's too crowded here. And we prayed that building inspector got transferred from my city to a different place. And then we continued the work. And we were able to continue the work. And when we came to this far putting pillars, our neighbors are getting so mad. Man, these guys are trying to put a church building here. And it's just, when we got to these pillars, the new building inspector, he's like, your neighbor is just a bad person. He's just trying to give you so much trouble. And he's saying, if I don't look into this project, he said he's going to apply for my higher officers. And we're like, God, it's not easy. You're fighting with your Muslim spirit. There is a Hindu spirit. And when we're building these construction workers, most of them are Hindus, not Christians. They have these weird traditions and superstitions. They say, when they cut these iron rebars, they say, we will have to worship our goddess. I said, no, we worship one God. His name is Jesus. Let's continue the work. And they would say, no, sir, it's very hard. It's okay. You know, you just do the work and our God is going to take care of it. And some guys, they come and they say, well, earth, you're building a big weight on earth. You had to go through all these superstitions. Our neighbor says, you're putting a lot of weight on this earth. So you have to do a blood sacrifice. Otherwise, earth is going to take somebody's life. So they come up with all these weird ideas. And my plumber comes. We are able to put the ground floor. And this is the second floor. And my plumber comes and he says, sir, you can't put a toilet facing east because sun god is going to get offended. I said, it's okay. That's okay for us. You feel silly. But people, they are so superstitious. Hindu people, when they build this house, when they build houses, they bring literally a cow inside their house. If cow use restroom, their blessing. That's their blessing. That's what I'm talking. That's the superstitions. How people are so blind. How people got into this darkness. You probably never heard these things. It's just like my carpenter comes and he says, you can't have 11 windows. You have to have an even number. Can we put 12 windows? Well, I believe in the name of Jesus. Just put only where I need it. And he says, why don't you put one more door facing Ganges River? Man, Ganges River is not going to give you salvation. The name of Jesus is going to give you salvation. You're just going to the water in the name of Jesus. So you're just going through all these fightings. And one of our worker, one day he was just sitting a little bit next to our property. He got bit by a stray dog. And his blood started bleeding. The whole neighbor were like, see, we told you to give a sacrifice. And this guy started bleeding. And the earth requires blood. I was in a very difficult situation. And this guy has a typhoid, malaria, and different diseases. And we didn't know that. After 21 days, he passed away. And this whole village brought a dead body, come to our place, started beating our churches. They said, because of you guys didn't follow these rules, and our person died. And they started beating, and they're like, where is the pastor? Our church members are standing right there. And some of our church members, they got beatings by those village people. They said, we're not going to bury this dead body unless you pay such an amount of money. He died because of you guys. And you need to take care of their daughter and everything. So all these problems, and we had to take care of their situation. And right after their situation, our workers said, sir, we can't work on your building unless you make a sacrifice. But I said, hear, Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. I know all these circumstances are going, but I'm not doing those people what they're saying. God, you are my source. You are my strength. You're going to make all things possible. And here is the situations. I go through all these situations. God, I'm not fighting these situations. You are the one fighting for us. There is a great fight we don't see with our eyes, spiritual battle. But there's angels and demonic spirits. There's a fight going on, and we can't see that. And workers, they said they don't want to come and work with this building. But we found a new contractor. Actually, our engineer too, he said, I can't work with your building because you're not listening. You're putting kitchen in your way, and I can't work with this because you are putting everything in your way, and it's going to offend all these goddesses and everything. And so engineer quit, and the cement workers quit, and we were like, how are we going to continue this work? But the God we serve, He makes impossible possible for us. And He makes a possibility for us. And we are able to put third floor. And after we put that third floor, and by the grace of God, this is the building right now. That's our headquarters building. And I have on top of that building, there's a cross. Those who walk through that building, they always see that cross. In the middle of Muslim neighborhood. And we face so many obstacles. And the third floor is for missionaries. When they come, and there is a lot of people come by and stayed over there, we're able to do Bible school and missionary special meetings, all these things. And this building, because of this building, we're able to accommodate our missionaries from America. And by the grace of God, we're able to finish this building project. And this is our headquarters building in Warangal. This is our church. From a sewer place. And God turned into a beautiful building. Not just a church, it's a place for me to stay and for a missionary quarters. And this building cost $200,000. And God provided money. And we are able to build this building. And it is a witness to people in that village, in that town. And the missionaries are coming and going through that building and preaching. There's a great work going on. But with all those great testings, we're able to see this great blessing. If you'd all stand, please, tonight. It doesn't matter what kind of situation you're going through. Tonight, bring it to the altar, and God will take care of it. It says in the book of Exodus, chapter 14, 13 to 14 verses. And Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which He will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. That's the God we serve. That's the God we serve. I don't know what situation you're facing in your job, in your house, or your family situation, or a health situation, but everything is possible for the God I serve. By faith, when I walked to India, going through that situation, sewer coming inside my church. I thought this is this dead end. I couldn't find a place to. I thought maybe this is. I can't continue the worship services. But God has a great plan. He provided a church building. He provided a house. And He provided for missionaries to come and minister and be a blessing to the work in India. From a sewer to a beautiful building. 16 years ago, I was lost. I was blind. I was hopeless. But when I stepped into the presence of God, repent, and got baptized in His name, I found purpose in my life. And the God, from that point, He never leave me or forsake me. And that's the God I'm serving. And that's the God I'm talking to you. I showed you a picture. 1.2 billion people in India. And 80% of them and looking and want to hear this message. They don't have a hope what you're hearing tonight. And you're here not by accident. And don't miss this opportunity. God will change your life if you give your life to God. When He said the word in the beginning, it's completely darkness, void, and confusion. by the Genesis first chapter, last verse, it says, everything turned beautiful. There is a power in the Word of God. If you allow in your hearts, if you allow yourself to give yourself to God completely, repent and baptize in the name of Jesus, God is going to fill you with the Holy Ghost. And millions of people are searching for this hope. Tonight you have an opportunity. If you're going through a situation that is impossible for man, don't hear this world what they have to say. And hear the word of God. And His word is Amen. Everything is possible with His word. Let make your way to the altar. Bring your situation. There's nothing impossible for our God. The God we serve, everything is possible. It doesn't matter your health situation or if a job situation or family situation. God knows you. And there's a great promise. God, turn your situation and just give it to God. Let's walk through these altars. In Jesus' name, hallelujah.